Bibles to Ruth chapter number 3, please. The Old Testament book of Ruth, chapter number 3. Thank you, Pastor, for the privilege to be back in this meeting. Always a highlight of my year is to preach in this meeting, to preach with Brother Chris and Brother Terry. What a joy that is. I tell you what I feel like today. I feel like the bologna between two slices of bread this morning. That's really what I feel like. But I believe that God wants to say something to us today. And I just, Brother Chris, I want to get in that path you were on.
Yes, sir.
And the theme of the meeting is looking unto Jesus. And I think we could say that Brother Chris said we look unto Jesus for peace. But I want to preach this morning on the thought, looking unto Jesus for rest. Ruth chapter 3, verse number 1. If you want to stand, we'll read that text. And while you're getting up, may I say this about the book of Ruth. If you know anything about this four-chapter book, you know it magnifies the grace of God. It magnifies the grace of God in two ways. Number one, it magnifies the grace of God in its place in the Scripture. Chronologically, the book of Ruth is book number 8 in your Old Testament. That number 8 signifies a new beginning. And that's exactly what happens in this book. Ruth, the Moabitess damsel, finds a new beginning through her relationship with Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. It also magnifies the grace of God, secondly, in its placement. If you turn over to the book before the book of Ruth, you find the book of Judges. If you've read the book of Judges, you know it is a sad saga of Israel, how that they would get right with God, backslide on God. God would send somebody in to deal with them. They'd get back right with God again, back into trouble again, over and over and over and over. It is a book of gloom, really, because it is a history of the sin of the nation of Israel. But you turn over one book from the book of Ruth, you get to the book of 1 Samuel. Once you get to chapter 16, David gets on the throne and business begins to pick up. And there is some glory found in that book. Well, here's the thought. If you're ever going to get to glory, you got to come from gloom, go through grace to get to glory. Amen. So this book of Ruth magnifies the grace of God. Chapter number 3, verse number 1, here's what the book said. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" You may be seated. It's already been said this morning that we are living in a day of such unrest. I mean, there is unrest without. There's unrest today morally in our country. We have never, hear me closely, we have never seen the morals of this nation at such a low as they are today. Morally, we are a nation of unrest. We're at unrest politically. Only God knows. Only God knows who is going to take the presidency of the United States in 2017 should Jesus stay his coming. Only God knows who's going to be the next Supreme Court judge that is elected to the court of this land. Only God knows. There is unrest. There is unrest politically. And by the way, we better be praying that whoever takes that seat is a conservative, God-fearing person. Because if one more liberal gets on that court, we're down the drain. Amen? I'm saying today, it is a day of unrest, more morally. It is a day of unrest politically. It is a day of unrest socially. It is a day of unrest economically. Everywhere you turn in our world today, it is a day of unrest. But the Bible teaches us that as the children of God, God's people can have rest in a world of unrest. Amen. There is unrest without. But secondly, there is unrest within. I don't know if you get out much. The Lord allows me to go around and preach various places. I was this week in Powder Springs, Georgia, preaching. I preach somewhere most of the time away from my pulpit. And I want to tell you something. There is a weariness among the people of God.
Amen.
Paul talked about that in Galatians chapter number 6 when he said this. Be ye not weary. Don't lose heart. Don't faint in well-doing. But there is a weariness among the people of God. But Paul said, if you will not faint, if you will not grow weary, if you'll be faithful to sow to the Spirit of God, you will reap what you sow in due time if you faint not. But there is a weariness among the people of God. But I want to tell you, only God's people, only God's people can find rest in a day of unrest. Amen. And by the way, Ruth chapter 3 is going to teach us how that we can find rest in a day of unrest. So I want to preach on this thought this morning, a recipe for rest. You know, in verse number 2, the Bible said this, Naomi speaking, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast, behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. And verse number 3 is our first thought this morning. Here, number 1 is the preparation for rest. If you're going to find rest today, there must be, number 1, preparation for rest. Here's what Naomi said to Ruth. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. There's 4 things the Bible says here that we must do if we're going to make preparations to find rest. Number 1, the Bible said, wash thyself therefore. In other words, the Word of God says to us today, if we're going to find rest, we've got to be clean. We've got to be clean. Of course, we know why Naomi told Ruth to wash herself, because of the climate and culture of that day. Walking those dusty roads, it's very possible, Ruth coming from the field, that she needed to wash herself. And may I say to you today, as the people of God, we need to be clean. We need to keep our sins confessed. We need to keep our heart right with God. We don't need to let there come any distance between us and the Savior. You say, Brother Dave, what are you saying? I'm saying if you're ever going to find rest, you have to get clean. You have to make sure that you stay cleaned up before the Lord. And Naomi said, wash thyself. Number 2, she said, anoint thyself. Not just be clean, but secondly, you need to be consecrated. Be consecrated. You see, the ceremonial purpose of anointing with oil was to set someone or something apart from the secular to the spiritual. When David was anointed to become the king of Israel, He was set apart as a common shepherd boy, just a citizen. He was set apart to become the king of Israel. You say, Brother Dave, what are you talking about? I'm saying consecration in a believer's life is a separation from the world and being set apart unto God. And may I say this? The Bible says this. Although there's a lack of preaching on this in our churches today, the Bible still says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. If we're going to find rest, we've got to be clean and be consecrated. Number three, if we're going to be prepared for rest, we're not only going to be clean and consecrated, we got to be clothed. She said to Ruth, put thy raiment upon thee. Ruth had come from Moab wearing the garments of a widow. In chapter number 2, Ruth been gleaning in the fields, and she would been wearing the garments of a worker. But you get to chapter number 3, and Ruth is fixing to propose marriage to Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. And Naomi says, you need to put the garments on of the wedding, amen, of the wedding. Now you say, Brother Dave, what does this say to us this morning? The garments of the Christian life speak of that which is seen by those that are around us. Garments is part of our life that others see. It speaks of our testimony and our witness. And there is a life and a testimony that ought to be appropriate for the children of God. When you were a sinner, you lived like a sinner. And now that you're saved, you ought to live like somebody that's saved. You ought to have the testimony that you have been brought from death unto life. And you ought to have the testimony by the way you live. You ought to show that you have put off of the grave clothes of the old life. And you've had a spiritual resurrection. And now you put on the grace clothes that's provided for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Naomi said, Ruth, get out of those widow's rags and put on some new clothes. Amen. Yeah. Put on some new clothes. Put the past behind you. You remember in John chapter 11 when Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave. Lazarus came out of the grave bound in those grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. That's what Naomi is saying to Ruth. Ruth, get out those grave clothes. Get out those widow's rags. Loose yourself. Let you go. And put on the grace clothes of the new life. Amen. Of the new life. You remember when the prodigal son come out of the hog pen. One of the first things the father did was say, bring him some new clothes. Get out of those old, rotten, filthy clothes of the hog pen. And by the way, if you're ever going to find rest, you better get prepared. You got to be clean. You got to be consecrated. You got to be clothed. Amen. Cold. I was reading this week about a young man that lived in an orphanage in Romania, a former Soviet bloc by the name of Roy. And a pastor and his wife got a burden to adopt a young man from that orphanage there in Romania. So they went through the proper procedures, got the paperwork all worked out. So they went over to Romania to get their new boy, their new son, Roy. But that orphanage had one rule that everybody had to follow. When you came there to adopt a child, you had to bring them a new set of clothes. I mean, from the undergarments to the socks to the shoes. I mean, you had to bring a new set of clothes to clothe that child with when you took them away from that orphanage. They said when they got over there and got to the orphanage, they stood at the end of a long hallway. And they waited for a door to open that would bring them out their boy, Roy. They said as they stood there, all of a sudden, the door opened, and out came that little boy by the name of Roy. They said when he came out, he started peeling off his clothes. I mean, he kicked off his shoes, peeled off his shirt. Why? Because he knew that he was going to get rid of them old garments and put on some new garments. Amen. When the Lord saved us, we peeled off the grave clothes of this old life, and he put us in the righteousness of Christ. And now we don't live in the grave clothes. We walk in grace clothes. Amen.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
They said they got Roy home. Took him to church. For the first Sunday, the Roy sat middle ways in the building. And while his new daddy preacher was up there preaching, he said Roy was looking around at that vast crowd. Said all of a sudden, right in the middle of his new daddy's preaching, Roy stood up and hollered, "That's my daddy." They said that preacher stopped right there where he was and pointed back and said, "That's my boy." Hallelujah. On these days, by the good grace of God, are we going to cross in to the other side and see the Father on the throne? And he's going to see me in the grace clothes, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to say, "That's my Father." And he's going to say, "That's my boy." You're going to find rest.
Come on, preacher.
You got to get prepared.
Amen.
Be clean. Be consecrated. Be clothed. Number four, be committed. And get thee down to the floor. The preparation for rest. Then in verse number 4 through verse number 7, you find the place of rest. Four times in this chapter, this place is mentioned. Where was it, preacher? At the feet of Boaz. At the feet of Boaz. You say, "Now, Brother Dave, how could Ruth find rest at the feet of Boaz?" Because Boaz was going to become her kinsman redeemer.
Yes, all right.
According to the Levitical law, there's three things that a person had to do to become a kinsman redeemer. Number one, they had to be a relative. There had to be a relation, a relative. Number two, there had to be the resources by which they could redeem. And number three, there had to be a readiness. They had to be a willingness to redeem. And Ruth was going to find rest at the feet of Boaz, who was going to become her kinsman redeemer. You say, Brother Dave, where do I find rest? At the feet of our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our kinsman redeemer, who perfectly, perfectly fulfilled all three of those requirements of the Levitical law to become a kinsman redeemer. You say, Brother Dave, was he a relative? Oh, yes, he was. You say, but I thought he was God. He was God, but he was also man. And that's why he come to this earth through the vehicle of a virgin's womb, so that he could become rightly related to those he come to redeem. You say, Brother Dave, did he have the resources? Yes, he did, because through his veins flowed the rich, red, royal, redemptive blood that could pay the price for man's redemption. You say, was he ready? Yes, he was. He left the ivory palaces of glory and came to this earth to seek and save that which was lost. The place of rest is not Washington. The place of rest is not Montgomery. The place of rest is at the feet of our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear me. You may be trying to find rest in the wrong places. The place of rest is at the feet of Jesus. Number three, there is the preparation for rest. Be clean. Be consecrated. Be clothed. Be committed. The place of rest, the feet of Jesus. But thirdly, there is a procedure for rest. Look at verse 8. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid. He's discovered that Ruth is lying at his feet in the midnight hour. He turned, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Notice Ruth's request. And he said, "Who art thou?" She answered, "I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." You say, Brother Dave, what was Ruth asking Boaz to do? To protect her, to provide for her, to meet her needs, to literally take care of her. The spreading of the skirt had the picture of a bird spreading its wings over its babies to provide and to protect them. But notice verse number 10. The request of Ruth, but the reply of Boaz. Remember, it's a midnight hour. Dark. And Boaz says to her, Blessed be thou, my daughter. Verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. Did you get that?
Come on.
I will do to thee all that thou requirest. What did Boaz say to Ruth? Here's what he said. Number one, he calmed her fears. Fear not. But secondly, he charted her future. I will do for thee all that thou requirest. Don't miss this now. Listen closely. It's in the midnight hour. Darkness is around. Ruth comes to Boaz with a great need in her life. And by the way, I want to tell you, I know what it is to be in the midnight hour. And I know what it is to be there with a great need. And I want to be honest with you. There have been times in the midnight hour with a great need that the darkness of that hour has seemingly hidden the face of God. And I couldn't see his face. And I cried out, oh God, I can't see your face. Where are you? God, I can't see you anywhere in this situation. Where are you? But you know what? When you can't see his face, thank God you can still hear his voice. Ruth may not have been able to see his face, but she did hear his voice. And thank God for the voice of God that said to her, fear not. Amen. Now it might be a little bit below some of y'all's spiritual dignity today to get honest enough to say this, because I know I may be preaching to some superior saints in this building today, but I'm going to tell you, there are times along the journey that your need gets so great that it can dim your vision of God. It can block your vision of God. It can cause darkness to fall around you. But don't forget, when you can't see his face, just listen for his voice. Amen. For his voice. And he said to Ruth, fear not. I will do all that thou requirest of me. But notice verse 15. Only do you find the promise that's sure, but you find the provision that is sustaining. He tells Ruth to tarry the night till morning and to sort of scoot out unnoticed, not to make a spectacle or a scene. You say, why did Boaz do that, preacher? Because there's probably some Baptist threshers around there. That would want to have gossiped about a woman laying at the feet of Boaz all night. Amen. So Boaz says, just scoot out in the morning. But before you go, hold your apron out. Your veil, the book says. Your apron. And the word of God said that he measured her 6 measures. A barley.
Yeah.
Amen. Now get the picture. Here's Ruth in the midnight hour with a great need in her life. For Boaz to become her kinsman redeemer. She can't see his face, but she can hear his voice. She gives her request to him, lays her need at his feet. And Boaz says to her, I'm going to take care of that. Just trust me. I will do all that's required of me. I'm going to handle that need. But while I'm handling that need, just let me go ahead and give you some present tense praise until I take care of your future need. Hallelujah. Here's six measures of barley that will sustain you and take care of you until I can attend to this other matter. Aren't you glad that when you get clean and you get consecrated and you get clothed and you get committed and you get down to the feet of Jesus and you lay your need before him and you hear his voice and he says, I'll handle that. Then he says, here, let me just give you some grace, some present tense grace to take care of you till I get to that. Amen. I'm telling you, there is rest in a day of unrest for the people of God. Amen. So here goes Ruth back to town to Naomi. She's done what Naomi told her. And she comes back in verse 16. And Naomi said, who art thou, my daughter? Naomi knew who she was. But Naomi was expecting her to say, I am the future Miss Boaz. And she said, these six measures of barley gave he me. He said to me, go not empty. And to thy mother-in-law, verse 18, notice the command. Then said she, sit still, my daughter.
Listen.
Can I just paraphrase that by saying this? Rest, my daughter. Rest, my daughter. Ruth, you've done all that you can do. Rest. Sit still. You know, you may not admit this, but I will. My humanity gets restless and wants to help God out. But when we try, we often complicate it, corrupt it, and make it much worse. God help us to learn. After we've cleaned up, got consecrated, got clothed, got committed, laid our need at the feet of Jesus, he's given us present grace for future days. Help us to learn to rest, to sit still. This is not unusual to the Bible. You remember in Exodus chapter 14, when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, the Bible said that the Red Sea was before them, mountains surrounding them, Pharaoh's army behind him. And Brother Moses stands up and says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The psalmist David, Psalm 46, Brother, you quoted verse 1 a while ago. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Verse number 10 in that text, he says this: be still and know that I am God. Warren Wiersbe said that means this: sit still, be quiet, take your hands off of it, and let God be God. I was preaching back in October in a CALP meeting, center of Alabama between Montgomery and Tuscaloosa. Drove in on Friday, walked in the house, played with my grandbaby a little while. Then my wife set me down and she began to cry. I said, "What's wrong, Mama?" She said, "I got bad news." I said, "What is it?" She said, "I've got a bad mammogram. They've called me back and had another test. They're suspecting it's cancer." He said, "Preacher, what'd you do?" I began to cry. Weep. We wept a little bit. And then she looked at me and said these words. She said, "Straighten up. Dry it up." She said, "God's got this." You say, "What'd you do, preacher?" What she told me. What she told me. And God did have it. This morning she's cancer free. But I had to learn to sit still and let God be God. But Naomi told Ruth something that helped her to sit still. Ruth, here's why you can sit still. Because this man, Boaz, is not going to sit still until he has brought to pass that which he has promised you. Are you listening? You say, "Brother Dave, how can you rest?" I'll tell you how you rest. You can rest because you know that the Lord is not going to rest until he brings to pass that which he has promised you. Amen. You say, "Preacher, is it easy?" No, it's not easy. The flesh don't like to rest. Don't like to sit still. It's something that you have to do daily. You have to just rest daily in the fact that he has promised and he will not rest until he brings to pass that which he's promised. In that same week of meeting, that week in October, on Monday night, I got up to walk across the tabernacle. It's an outdoor tabernacle type meeting. And Brother Joe, I couldn't hardly get across the tabernacle. I just was out of balance. I just couldn't hardly walk. It wasn't dizziness. The room wasn't spinning. It wasn't dizziness. I'm just out of balance. I thought, "Well, I've got some inner ear problems. When I get home, I'll get some medicine." About it all week. I ask God every night, "Give me grace to get to the pulpit. If I can get to the pulpit, I can hold on and preach. Just let me get to the pulpit." I did. I got home and found out Miss Annette was sick. We got through that. Finally got to the doctor. They thought ear infections, TNT. Found out I have something that 2 in 100,000 has. I thought, my, how could I be so lucky? I've got an acoustic neuroma. You say, "What's that, preacher?" That's what I said when they told me. It is a middle ear tumor about the size of a centimeter right now, mine is. It presses against my balance nerve and my hearing nerve in my left ear. My left ear constantly rings, constantly feels like it's full. Had balance troubles, but they're a lot better now. But they had that problem. I've been to Birmingham, was in Memphis yesterday seeing specialist. One procedure that they fix it with is a brain surgery. I don't want a brain surgery. I don't think I have time for a brain surgery. I don't know. But I'm just doing what, preacher? I'm just sitting. Folks are praying for me, and I ask you to, across this nation. I've been anointed. I still believe in James 5. I've been anointed. Prayed for. You say, Brother Dave, what are you saying? I'm saying I've done all I knew. It's in his hands. So what I'm trying to do, preachers, is just rest. Just sit. Because I know he promised me he will not rest until he takes care of this situation. Let me say it one more time. There is rest for the children of God in a day of unrest if we'll come to rest God's way. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word.